Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for today is Luke chapter 2, verse 21. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. The first two chapters of the Gospel of Luke keeps its readers connected in time. If you've been paying attention the last couple of weeks, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, when Zechariah's time of service was completed, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea. From now on, all generations will call me, that is Mary, blessed. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months. And when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, and then, as we all heard last week, in those days, Caesar Augustus. I love how Luke wants you to doubt when everything occurred. Isn't it funny? He places everything as kind of a challenge to you. See, this is when it happens. And it's clear that Luke is showing his readers that God came into real time and real history. And this isn't a once upon a time account. Nor is this in a galaxy far, far away account. Luke is giving us an historical account. And so on the eighth day after Jesus' birth, he is named and circumcised. And you don't circumcise a spirit or a myth. It was intended for the male children with real bodies born of the chosen people of God. And Jesus being circumcised also teaches us that as he said, Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. This he is undergoing on our behalf. Circumcision, you see, was the only mark permitted on the flesh of a free Jew. Any other marks were signs of bondage and slavery. God commanded circumcision, as we read in Genesis 17, for the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised. In Leviticus 12, on the eighth day, the boy is to be circumcised. This is a sign of the covenant between God and his chosen people. The ritual of waiting to name the child is added by tradition. And so on the eighth day, Joseph takes baby Jesus to the temple as the law required and gives him the name that the angel Gabriel had told him. The eighth day. That's a big, big thing to unpack. The eighth day was a sign of eternity for the Old Testament. And for us is a sign of the new creation, the day of the resurrection. And so Jesus first shed his blood on the eighth day, not the Sabbath day, not at his bar mitzvah at the age of 12, or at the age of 30 when he would have been able to rabbinically speak. No, God commands the eighth day, because the covenant that God has established was never about our choice, but about his choosing us. Now in Jesus, the Christ, the covenant with Abraham to be a blessing to all families of the earth is fulfilled. Jesus' circumcision fulfills for all the old covenant. And we know that the new covenant is established with a different kind of circumcision. One not made with human hands, as Paul tells us. One that requires only the blood of Jesus and not our own, which is the sacrament of holy baptism. Thus, even our rationalistic Christian friends, if they were really looking at the scriptures rightly and checking their own reason and logic at the door, would have to understand that infant baptism is proper, since for the Israelites, circumcision was performed on the eighth day after birth. There was no waiting for the child to decide to be circumcised when he reached 7 or 12. Therefore, we Lutherans reject teachings that God regards children as innocent before the application of word and word joined to water in baptism, as our formula of concord speaks in Article 12, which is what Paul is proclaiming to the church of Colossae, as we hear in Colossians 2. In him also we were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Baptism and circumcision are then forever united. God commanded the observance of the eighth day, and Mary and Joseph, being devout in their faith, adhered to God's word. Isn't it amazing how Jesus is fulfilling the law for us as the lawgiver subjects himself to the law, his own law, that we might receive the full rights of sons? As I said on Christmas Eve, the name of Jesus is a confession, as it quickly explains why he was born. Yahweh saves, or the Lord saves. This is what Jesus, the Lamb of God, does. He comes to take away the sins of the world. Jesus is the true Israelite, the perfect Jew, who alone kept the law perfectly for all. He is the God-man, the Son of the Covenant, the only one who could have passed through the animals when God made the covenant with Abraham and then put him to sleep. His circumcision continues. Our Lord's also his state of humiliation. As the Word that was in the beginning became flesh to dwell among his people, willingly subjecting himself to the law of God, his own law, as the shedding of his precious blood. And this bleeding points us forward to another day when his blood is poured out for the entire world on a Roman cross. This eight-day-old infant is the only way to save his people from their sins. The Jesus, the Lamb of God, must be sacrificed. There is only one whose blood is able to atone for your sins and my sins and the sins of all in this world. The very Son of God, whose name, Yeshua, or Jesus in English, Yahweh saves. And there is only one who could and does shed his blood for all the sins of all time, and then on the third day rises again to declare for all who have faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, life in it eternal. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, is here a little baby, and yet your Savior and mine. Circumcision was a mark of the relationship God had with his people, that he would be their God and they would be his people. Jesus, the Son of God, came to fulfill what it means to be a child of God by his perfect life, being ever faithful to the Father's will. We enter this new covenant and become God's people through the union with Jesus. And we know that that union is established only through his means of grace, the Word of God and the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. In his circumcision, our hearts are now circumcised with water and word, as we are joined to Jesus' death and his resurrection. We, through God-given faith, now live lives in Jesus. And today at his table, our Jesus pours out his lifeblood for you, as his body and blood are the food of forgiveness, life, and salvation. As we begin the year of our Lord 2017, we most likely have some very mixed emotions. I had a friend send me a picture of a sign out in front of a bar somewhere in the St. Louis area that's been getting a lot of Twitter time, apparently. And it was said, "Farewell 2016, nobody liked you anyways." But as you look at 2017, we have hope and we have anxiety, as our minds are filled with so many questions. Will our health hold out? Will our country go off a fiscal cliff or completely into insanity? Will I still have a job? Will there be another terrorist attack in the States? Or will we just keep killing ourselves in our schools and our movie theaters, our streets and homes and abortion clinics? These and many more questions come into our mind as we end one year and head into another. And while I can't answer any of these questions with any degree of certainty, I can point you to Jesus, who alone brings peace into our chaos. We today confessed our sins in thought, word, and deed. We confessed our sins, those that we have done and those that we have left undone. We came with repentant hearts, I pray, so that we could hear the words of absolution once again delivered to us to declare you freed and forgiven. When the world and our flesh and the devil have you on the ropes, think of our one sentence text today. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And know that here is the baby Jesus humbling himself, allowing his blood to be shed to fulfill the law of God for you, for me. So as we consider the challenges and opportunities that we might have coming during the year of our Lord 2017, should his return, continue to be delayed, in Jesus we can have a peace that passes all human understanding. For Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The rules of salvation aren't going to be changed on you tomorrow. So never forget the 8-day-old babe named Jesus is all we need, no matter what the year offers. For whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Therefore, we live in Jesus now, and then one day, when we die or our Lord returns, we shall have nothing to fear, for we shall live for all eternity with our Lord Jesus, whose name we give great thanks for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may peace, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.